Father, I love you, and I thank you for the Word, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I thank you today that as, you know, we sit here and we do the things that we do in the natural talk, listen. But in the spiritual realm, you're doing what you do. And the Holy Spirit is teaching. The Holy Spirit is showing things to us. And we're learning, and we see things more clearly. And revelation hits our heart. And it changes our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, take your Bible, if you would, please, and you can turn to two passages of Scripture. Actually, you can just go to one of them, and I'll make reference to two right now. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians 6, 17. And the other one that I'm going to quote, I'm going to read here, I wrote it down, is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And I want you to do something today, all right? Church is not about being entertained. That's not what about. Church is about getting equipped. Amen. Church is about worshiping God. Amen. Church is about gaining and receiving more so that we have more to give outside. Amen. And more to give to each other. That's what church is about. It's not about just receiving. It's about receiving so we can give away. It's about receiving so we're better equipped to impact this world like God wants us to. And so we're going to be talking about prayer this morning. And I hope to get to two groups of people to pray for. And that first group that we're going to look at, and maybe I should turn it around, but we'll see what happens. Praying for believers. You know, praying for believers. Praying for revelation. And the second group that I'd like to talk about is praying for unbelievers. Praying for people who haven't met Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet. Now, how many of you know you pray differently for those two groups of people? So I want to talk about that. But then at the end of the service, we often have prayer up here for people. We're not going to do that today. As I go through this message, I want you to think about some people that you want to pray for or who you have been praying for. I want you to think about somebody who's on your heart and you want them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At the end of the service today, we're all going to pray. And you're going to pray for the people that are in your heart. The people that are in your mind. That's how we're going to end the service, is by putting into practice what the Scripture teaches us. Amen? So, hallelujah. And I wanted to start off with something that, for me, it's just always fun. I'm a, any sci-fi fans, any, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, you know, sci-fi folks out there, is that it? Really? Okay, thank you. I like imagination, I like creativity, and how many of you know God is creative? There is so much, and there is so much going on in the world that we don't see with our natural eyes. There's so much that goes on in the spiritual realm, and to let that work. And this verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, did I say Ephesians 4 the first time? Nope, I got it right. God, hallelujah! Turn to give somebody a high five and say, God's working already. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. I've always loved this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take and put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now look at that. Look at that word Spirit in your Bible. And the sword of the Spirit. What do you see there? First letter. It's capital S. Who's it referring to? Holy Spirit. Not my spirit. Not your spirit. But the Holy Spirit. And take up the sword of the Spirit. Then read the next part. Which is the Word of God. You know, we heard a testimony about that this morning. What was the verse you had, Carol? The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. She listened. She took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then she just let the Holy Spirit work in that unseen realm. Amen. sitting there for 15 minutes. And how many of you know a miracle happened that morning? Actually, two miracles happened that morning. One was Carol was able to keep her mouth closed for 15 minutes.
You gotta quit talking.
I'm over here now. But the other one, she let the Holy Spirit work. Do you know how many people need the revelation that that lady got? I'm mad at the wrong individual. How many people are mad at God when it's really Satan? What a bummer. Amen? But that lady, she's set free. And that truth, she can use it for the rest of her life. Amen. The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. And that revelation that hit her heart, how important that is. And one of the things that, talking about praying for people, in the prayer for both groups, we want them to have revelation. But one of the revelations when we pray for believers is we want them to have more revelation of the truth. For the Holy Spirit to turn the light bulb on in their heart and they go, oh, I'm mad at the wrong guy. Or whatever setting it might be in. Folks, you know, I want more revelation. But here's the way that I pray. I'm not looking for more revelation just for me. I'm believing God for more revelation for you. You know, I want God to give me more revelation, but I want him to give you more revelation. Amen? And a lot of my prayer time is just that. It's for other people to see more. I still need to see more. Amen? Glory to God. But I love this verse of Scripture. The sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. Think about it. When we're speaking God's Word, and how many of you know when you're speaking God's Word, some of it is what you've read in these pages. That's one way that you speak God's Word, what you've read in these pages. And you speak that to people. Another way that you speak the Word of God is when God gives you a word for somebody. Amen? You know, lots of times, yeah, it'll be what you read in the Bible, but sometimes it's what God puts in your heart specifically for that individual in that situation. And in the unseen realm, the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work. He's taking, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, let me read Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joint and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. There it is again. Do you see it again from Carol's testimony? Is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, was able to get into that lady's heart and discern what was going on in her heart and bring revelation and bring truth. So when I talk about praying for people to have revelation, it's along these lines. How many of you know you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free? Amen. I tell you, one of the things that I want to give to people is truth. Because people can take truth and use it for the rest of their life. You can use one truth over and over and over and over and over again. You can use one truth for 60 years. Day after day after day, and that truth is still good, and that truth still brings life. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revelation, getting revelation in our hearts, just not just for me, but also for other people. And then let me say this about prayer. How many of you know prayer should not just be defensive? Prayer shouldn't be just defensive. Prayer should be offensive. Prayer isn't just for defense, it's for advancement. It's for moving prayer. It's for moving forward. It's for advancing the kingdom of God. But you know, I think there's some people that if it wasn't for Satan and his attacks, they would have no prayer life at all. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, for some people, the only time they pray is after Satan has attacked. Who do you want to be leading your prayer life? Satan? Or God? Or you? I don't want Satan to be leading it. I don't want the only time I to pray is after I've been hit by the enemy. Hallelujah. That's a good thought. That's worth thinking about. I want to pray. I want to use prayer for moving the kingdom of heaven forward, for advancing things. Take now, and did you keep your spot there in Ephesians? You haven't turned away? Just back up with me, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen, 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 amen. I like prayer should be for advancement. Prayer for should be for moving things forward. We'll see some of that, but I just think of the Lord's Prayer. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's advancement. That's moving things forward. How do you spend most of your time praying? Do you spend most of your time praying, you know, defensively? Or offensively, taking things forward. Okay. Did you get to Ephesians chapter 1? Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ. Okay, who's he writing to? He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christians. So when you jump down a little bit farther, remember, he's writing to believers. And notice what it says here in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus and your love for all the saints. How many of you know there's another little nugget here? When's Paul praying for people? Just after he hears about disaster in their life? No. Therefore, also, after I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's heard about how good they're doing, and guess what he does? Keeps praying for them. You know why? Because he wants advancement to continue. He wants them to keep moving forward in their faith. He wants them to keep growing. He wants more light to keep happening. He wants them to get more done to be able to take things forward. Hallelujah. Paul's not praying for unbelievers here. He's praying for Christians. All right. Verse 17. Now notice this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many of you got a friend, somebody you love, and they are walking with the Lord, but there's more you want them to know? Just take their name and put it in here. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Here's a great prayer. And think about over in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if, since he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Well, how many of you think that this is the will of God? Amen. So, you know, we can pray this prayer with great confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in him if we ask anything according to his will. How many of you know if you pray this prayer for somebody, it's according to his will? And how many of you know, since it's according to his will, he heard you pray? And since we know that he heard you pray, we know that we have the petition that we have asked for him. He's going to be working. He's going to be working. And you know what? We constantly need more revelation. Amen. We constantly need more light. The guy that I was talking to who thought because he killed so many coyotes, how many of you just think that's crazy? That's just the stupidest thought in the world. You kill coyotes and that's going to keep you out of heaven. Should be war. But think about this. That's just how good the devil is at lying. Something for us that is just off the wall crazy. was very real to that man. Wow. I got two friends, they're family members, and one of them said to the other one, "You can't be a Christian! There's no way you can be a Christian! You're one of the world's most terrible people! You killed a mountain lion! You can't be a Christian!" Really? Wow. But look at how people believe, you guys. Guess what we need? We need revelation. We need more light. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn and look at some and say, pray! All right. I lost my place. I'll get back there to Ephesians. Praying for believers. You got somebody? You want them to have more insight? You want to have more understanding? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? I think about this verse of Scripture. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of you want more of the glory of God in this world? Yeah! Well, guess what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We don't always think about it that way, but Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I tell you what, God's got a hope that more of His glory will flow through us and fill this world because of Christ in us. You know what? I think this is a great truth. Pray for revelation about who we are in Christ. And that's part of it. We're talking about that. But also, pray for revelation about who Christ is in you. Greater is... Oh, no. I'm going... I want to... 1 John 4:4 says this. You are of God, little children. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome the enemy. Why? Because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You know what? Christ in you, amen, the hope of glory. Greater is He who is in you than he who's in the world. Think about that. How are you got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you? Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Did you know that there is nothing that you will come up against that's greater than the one who's in you? Everywhere I go, everywhere you go, Jesus is in you and He is greater than anything you will come in contact with. I don't know about you, but I like that. I can walk anywhere I want to. And greater is He who's in me than that situation, than that circumstance, than that demonic spirit that might be at work. Greater is He who is in me. And I've overcome them. Why have I overcome them? Because greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Wow! Revelation! I used to go down to the reservation all the time. You know, I don't go as much as I used to, but when I lived in Rushville, cross it every Sunday. Every Sunday I go across Revelation. I had friends, Christian friends, who wouldn't drive across the Revelation, drive across the reservation at nighttime because they were afraid. Mm-hmm. And I one time had an Indian lady tell me, "I'll go visit with them. You're not dark enough." It was great. I loved her sense of humor. It was wonderful. Lorette Cooney, this dear lady, super good friend. You know, but I remember one time I was praying, and for 3 years we went from Rushville to Kyle. For seven years, we went from Custer to Rushville and ministered on Sunday nights, driving across the reservation. I remember one time I was praying, and like it was nighttime, and I'm up in the air hovering in a helicopter, and I'm looking down, and I know it's the reservation, and you can see the street lights and kind of see the light, the streets, and then between the towns, and there's this little light just going wherever it wants to go. And the Spirit of God said, "That's you." Amen. I could go wherever I wanted in the darkness and didn't have to worry about a thing because greater is He who's in me. Greater is He who is in you than he who's in the world. My friend needed a revelation of that because then he could drive across the reservation at nighttime and not have to be afraid. Amen. Amen? But just greater is He who's in you. You know, for God is at work in you. How many of you know God's at work in you? Amen. Both to will and to do for His good pleasure. I love that. God's at work in me both to give me the will and the do for His good pleasure. Yeah, I want to be able to get it done. You know, how many of you know there's a lot of things we will to do, but we don't necessarily do? Amen?
Amen.
There's so many things. Oh, I told Misty Wallstrom one time, I said to her, "Oh, Misty, I'd do anything to be in shape." And I looked at her and I said, "Misty, I just lied to you." Because how many of you know if I had the do, I'd be in shape? Amen? I had the want to. I wasn't getting it done. God is at work in you. He's at work in you. Turn and look at somebody and say, God's working in you. God's working in you. He's at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Glory to God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I'm not going to get to the second part. There's just no way. I'm not even going to try. How many of you, there's times you want to pray, but you don't? How many times you plan on praying, you're going to go to prayer, you're going to pray, but something comes up? I can close with something that's a little stiff and a little straightforward, or I can share that, and then we'll close with the last part. Which one do you want? Amen. Praise God. You're going to get both. But I want to be careful with something. Take in your Bible and go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Have you ever noticed that there's times when Jesus would say things that were a little strong? Little stiff. And the way I'd like to put this is this. Be careful with your reasons. Be careful with your justification of why you do what you do or why you don't do what you don't do. Be careful with that. Amen? Another word we could use, be careful with your excuses. Amen? Okay. So, Romans chapter 14. I want to start. Yeah, Luke, thank you. Praise God. Luke chapter 14. That is what I want. Hallelujah. Luke 14, going to start reading at verse 16. And a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask that you have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask that you have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." I want to ask you a question. How many of you think these people, with their reasoning, thought it was justifiable? Thought it was good? Come on now, don't get quiet on me right now. I mean, for them, that was good. If we were to keep reading, was it good? Was it okay? Was it acceptable with the Father? Not all the time. You know, there's a verse of Scripture over in Matthew. I'll give you the reference here. In Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38, where Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Wow. That sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? But you preach the gospel. How many of you go, that sounds pretty straight, doesn't it? Wow. See, anybody ever been talking to a child and you asked them, why did you do that? Why did you color all over the wall? Why did you color on the carpet? Why? Why did you do that? And that child can look at you with an absolutely straight face and a great explanation, a great defense, if you will, of why they did what they did. And to them, it's perfectly legit. Amen? How many parents you ever been there? You know, that, and they, for the life of them, can't figure out why the heck you're so upset. Because for them, it's perfectly good. But for you, it's not so good. God is our Father. We are His children. I wonder if He ever looks at our excuses and goes, I know you think that's a good idea, but it ain't going to work. You know, folks, we need to be careful with our reasonings, with our justifications, with our excuses. They might work for us. They might be okay with us. But how do they work for the Father? You know? Keep going. I'm glad that you shared your testimony, Carol. Thank you. I'm glad I said yes. Because she easily could have used her own reasoning. I don't even want a taco. I'm not hungry. But didn't let her own reasoning be the deciding factor. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn and look at somebody and say, I just love it when Pastor reads the Bible and talks to me. Amen. How many of you receiving? Who do you want to be the overseer of your prayer life? The Father or the enemy? And I wonder how many attacks can be diverted because we allow the Father to be the author, the influencer, the leader of our prayer time. Amen. I want that. And I don't want my flesh. I mean, I don't want to say to the Father, well, I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like it. This summer we've been so busy and it's been so chaotic. And I haven't made it here as much as I typically do for prayer Monday through Thursday at 8 o'clock. But this last Thursday, I made it here, and I was so thankful. And I got here a little bit late, and Dorothy was here. I'm like, yes. So we came, and we sat down, and we were praying. It was so fun because that life. And started praying about things that were in the future. Prayer wasn't just for defense. Prayer was for advance. Amen. Now, I'm going to do this real quick. I might just give you the references. But praying for the lost. How to pray for the lost. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. You're still doing good, right? Amen. Still taking in, still listening, saying, yeah, yeah, come on. Believe me, I can finish this quicker than I was going to originally. But how to pray for the lost. How to pray for the lost. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, just going to start reading it, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. And when you're reading this, when we're reading this, when we're looking at this, right now, take a moment. Who do you know that you want to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How many of you got a person's name, you got a person in your heart right now? It's somebody you want to come to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You got somebody? Okay. Because you're going to get to pray for that person in a little bit. Amen? So we're about heavenly business. We're about advancing the kingdom of God. We're about moving things forward. We're not just playing defense. What was it? Some basketball player just went to a new team and somebody was talking to him and I don't know what question they asked him, but he just looked at him and said, they did not hire me to play defense. They hired me to play offense. You know, defense is necessary. We need defense. But how many of you know it's not all about defense? I like shooting. I like playing basketball. Just get me behind the three-point line. You know, just get me back there. Nothing but net. Time after time after time. Just happens.
Yeah, it's just that way. And I thought once I cut my finger off, my shot would go away. Nah. You know? Just as good as it ever was. Yep. About 10 out of 100. But it's not all about defense. We would play a lot of offense. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 35, Matthew 9. Then Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Wow, he's busy. How many of you know he's advancing? He's moving forward. But when he saw the multitudes, do you ever see the multitudes? Do you ever see the multitudes of people? But when he saw the multitudes, he's advancing, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and like sheep having no shepherd. There's something in here that for us to get. I think it's so interesting. Think about what he's been doing and think about what he's seeing. He's been going about healing all the sicknesses and all the diseases. He's been traveling, he's been going, he's been doing it. And then he sees the multitudes. He sees, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people out there. He sees the multitudes, and he's what? Moved with compassion. And what's interesting is what he does and doesn't do. What he didn't do was run harder, run faster, try to reach more people. That's not what he brought up. Let's look and see what he brought up. Let's look and see what came after him being moved with compassion and seeing the multitudes of people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to the disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray." Therefore, pray. What did he do? He got more people praying. He didn't just run harder himself. He got more people praying. He got more. This is Jesus we're talking about here. How many of you know? How many of you think he knows what he was talking about? How many of you think he's right? I think he's right. I think he knew what he was talking about. He didn't run around harder that we saw. But what he did, he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." How many of you got that person in your mind? Got them in your heart? Do they live around here? Or do they live somewhere else? Somewhere else. Hallelujah. You know what? What did Jesus say? This is what Jesus said. This is how he said to pray. Pray for laborers to be sent across their path. Pray for laborers to go out into the harvest. Do you think if you pray this prayer, God will hear it? Now, guess what's necessary in this prayer? We know God will hear, but then what's going to have to take place? God's going to visit with a laborer somewhere. Amen? And there's another prayer we're going to pray. It's found over in Colossians. That people would have words seasoned with salt, as it were, that they would know how to respond to each one as they ought. Yeah, I pray that for you guys all the time. That God gives you words seasoned with salt that you know how to respond to each one as you ought. Now think about that. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you know that sword of the Spirit works for the believer and the unbeliever as well? Because what's the Holy Spirit responsibility? We read it last week over in John chapter 16. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict people of sin. Of the sin of not believing in Jesus. So how is it that we pray? Father, send laborers. Send laborers across my friend's path. Send laborers. God, I ask you today to send people across their path. And Father, would you give them words seasoned with salt, as it were, and they know how to respond as they ought. And when that is taking place, the Holy Spirit is working in that realm that is unseen, and those words go, and it is the sword of the Spirit, and they make their way into that individual's heart, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. It's powerful and living, and the reality of who Jesus Christ really is hits their heart, and they know for sure, and they're standing at a point in time where they can say yes to Jesus because they know who he is in their heart. And you sent that labor across their path. Amen? Amen. I love it. I just love it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I just like to throw this part. Something that God shared with me one time. I often think about God sending laborers, but how many of you know there's somebody somewhere in the world praying for somebody in your sphere of influence? Be listening for the Father to talk to you, to be a laborer, to have the awesome privilege of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and being the answer to a person's prayer over there, used by God to impact this person here. Wow. Amen. I don't want to just pray for laborers. I also want to be a laborer. And I want to be sensitive and I want to listen. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up, babe. If the worship team could come on up and play. Glory to God. You can just play softly. Don't necessarily have to sing. How many of you got that person on your heart? You got that person ready. You maybe just wrote their name down. This is for somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And you don't have to pray loud. I'm not going to bring you up front and make you stand up here and pray out loud and everybody's going to, you know, inspect your prayer and make sure it's all just right. You know what makes a prayer right? When it's prayed from the heart and faith. Hallelujah. I think about one of Peter's prayers. Lord, save me! Sounds really fancy, doesn't it? As he's going down in the water, and what'd the Lord do? Boop, saved him. Amen. Sometimes we get hung up over, are the words perfect? How many of you know God looks at the heart? Amen. I have no clue what I prayed the day I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I have no clue what it was. But you know what? It worked. I can guarantee you, I wasn't real churchy. Wasn't churchy at all, man. Hallelujah. You got that person in your heart? Okay, this is how we're going to close the service today. And I just put it this way. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can right now. Well, how do I do that? God, thank you for Jesus dying on that cross. And I do believe that you raised him from the dead. And Jesus, right now, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And I call upon you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being Lord and Savior. That's how you do it. Amen? So if you guys will just play softly, babe, on the piano for right now for a little bit. And I'm just going to pray in general, but I'd like you to pray right where you're at, okay? Just pray right where you're at for that individual. Amen? Okay, let's all just pray. You put that person's name in there. You take that person before the Father. Father God, I just worship you. I praise you. And Father, when we were over there worshiping earlier this morning, you put this on my heart to end the service like this. Father, this is the most important time of the service, I believe. Because right now, throughout this sanctuary, your children are talking to you in line with your will. And I thank you, Father God, as prayers are going up all over the place in this sanctuary, you're hearing each one. And we have confidence in you, God, confidence in you that you're hearing the prayers. You're hearing the prayers because it's in line with your will. And Father, I just thank you that you're sending laborers right now. You're sending laborers. You're sending people out and across the paths of loved ones. You're just sending there. I watch you do it in my life. I watch you do it with my family. I've watched you do it for years. I thank you for it, God. And as you send those laborers, as you send those laborers out into the harvest field, as Jesus told us, pray this way, that the Father would send laborers into the harvest field. God, thank you. Thank you for sending the laborers. Thank you for sending them. And then, Father God, that they hear. That they hear. And they don't have excuses. They don't have reasons and justifications. Why not? They just go. They say yes. They say yes. And as they go, give them words seasoned with salt, as it were, and that they know how to respond to that one just as they ought. Just as they ought. And as they speak that word, as they speak that word from you, God, the Holy Spirit's at work. They're speaking, and the Holy Spirit's taking those words, and He's going to their heart. He's going to the heart of the matter, and He's talking to them. And He's revealing to them who Jesus Christ is. He's revealing who Jesus is. And God, we know You'll never override someone's free will. But I know, Father God, that laborers are going out. Revelation that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life is coming to people's hearts. And so, Father, I thank You for that. I praise You for that, and I worship You for that. I thank You that there are people that will say yes to Jesus Christ as a result of this time this morning, as a result of the prayers that are being prayed right now. There are people that are going to say, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, forgive me of my sin. Thank You, Father. And then, Father, help us in this room listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to You even more. And as we walk forward, we let You send us across the paths of people, and let us be Your laborers in the harvest. Let us share the truth of Jesus Christ. Give us words seasoned with salt, as it were, and we know how to respond to each one as we ought. I thank You for it, Father. I thank You, Father, that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I thank You, Father God, that there's no situation we'll walk into and the greater one isn't with us. We've got the greater one with us. I thank You, Father. I praise You, Father. I worship You. Why don't you go ahead and just lift your hands and praise Him right now and thank Him right now for hearing your prayer, for answering your prayer because it's in line with His will. Thank You, Father God, for laborers right now. Thank You for laborers right now, God, being sent across the path of loved ones and friends, being sent out all over the place. Thank You, Father, and thank You, Father. And Father, as we get ready to leave this place today, thank You that we're laborers and we're being sent out. And we're attentive to Your voice, attentive to Your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.